Support for this podcast is made possible in part by our members. Become a member of WNTI by visiting our ePledge page at WNTI.org.
Time for Value This with Ryan and Leon. Appraisal experts Brian Kathanis and Leon Kastner are here to help you make sense of everything but the kitchen sink. Call in now with your really cool stuff at 877-41-VALUE. Now, here's the experts.
So here we are, Value This with Brian and Leon. I'm Leon.
I'm Brian, and I'm going to another team.
Another team?
I'm going back to my roots, the original team I played for back in the old days. Sound familiar? Basketball player making the move?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're going back to Cleveland.
I'm going back to Cleveland. I don't think I've ever been in Cleveland, by the way.
Cleveland's a nice city, by
Is
the
it?
Way. Cleveland.
Really?
I love Cleveland.
Isn't
Parts
it the
of
home
Cleveland.
Of the home of the Rock and Roll
Rock
Hall of
and
Fame?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And did LeBron James start there?
He did. He grew up in Akron, I think. Akron, Ohio, right near there.
Yep.
And started with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cavaliers, right.
Then decided, to heck with this, I'm going somewhere where I can win.
But he's coming back. And why is it? What's the deal there? Well, because he already won? No, he won. And he's
It's something else to do. Another goal. I mean, although he says it's a sense of pride, mm-hmm. sense of wanting to contribute to where he grew up.
He didn't do that when he started.
Well,
he bailed, but he's back. So what he could do is he could start selling all of his sports memorabilia that he wore in playoffs and things like that and raise a lot of money to help Cleveland.
That's a good idea.
It looks like an auction. 2 weeks after the playoffs, they put one of his jerseys up.
Mm-hmm.
Sold for $50,000.
Yeah.
$50,000.
Well, you think about this. In the old days, when I say old days, like in the 40s and 50s and mm-hmm. 60s.
Yeah.
Guys would wear like one jersey the whole game, season.
Yeah, exactly.
They would wash
exactly.
at the end,
yeah,
you know.
That's right.
And
yep.
they never thought of giving it away or taking it off and giving it to another
right.
player.
Because it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't,
right. And it wasn't worth anything.
Right, exactly. Right. Now they're becoming incredibly collectible, and you see guys that change their shoes every time they come off the court.
That's right.
Or change their jersey between every football play. And
exactly.
what these guys do is they trade with each other.
Yes.
So I'm sure LeBron has mm-hmm. everybody else's mm-hmm. basketball jersey, football jersey, baseball
sure.
uniform,
sure.
And they create their own collections. But this was actually offered by NBA. The NBA has their own auction now. They're realizing that they can make money on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
one brought $50,000 mm-hmm. for a piece of cloth.
Well, I wish him well. I wish
yep.
Cleveland well. It would be really nice mm-hmm. in the scheme of things if Cleveland became a contender.
Yeah.
I mean, it would do a lot for the city. They haven't had a winning sports team. I think they said
but they might need more than LeBron James to do it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Their last, I think, winning sports team was like the Cleveland Browns.
Uh-huh. And Johnny's always rooting for him. Aren't you, John? You're a big Cleveland fan.
Well, the other thing now is with Cleveland, they got Johnny Manziel on their football team.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, I thought he was going to play basketball.
But you bring up a good point, too, is that, they'll be in a game, they'll change their jerseys if it's a really important game, and they yep. get like five or six at a time.
Exactly.
And
yep.
I guess the other aspect is, how do you know it's legit when it came from that game?
You're absolutely right. That's the biggest question, John. You're on the ball for sure. So if you have some sports memorabilia you got questions about, if you want to know if you should go play for the Cavs, give us a call. we'll figure it out.
Do you have anything left over from when you were a kid when you played on any team? Did you play any sports at all?
I did. I played one season of baseball.
Okay. Do you have anything from that season left?
No. But I do have I got a lot of stuff from when I coached.
Okay.
But none of my players have turned pro.
I don't have anything from when I was a kid.
No.
I don't
no.
even have my varsity sweater or my varsity jacket
oh,
from
no
high
kidding.
School.
And you
had it for a while.
What'd you play?
I played football and baseball.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
I got old and slow.
I never knew that. I've known you all these years, and I didn't realize
you're a fast guy.
You're a letterman. Wow, check that out. Yeah.
Two letterman. I wish I had those.
But you're in Sussex
letters.
County. You're only like eight guys in the entire county.
Yes.
You had to play if you wanted to graduate.
So you played offense and defense?
You play everything.
And Johnny Leon was also the valedictorian of his high school, as I recall.
I was.
He was like an amazing guy. Like we said, wow. What happened?
How many, was it only like 30 people in your school?
No, it was okay. Good school. Well, if you're looking for more information, you got to get Leon's free report that he has to all
our
listeners.
We're giving away a free report.
We're giving a free report. If you go to bestantiquetips.com, you can keep up with our email. We'll email you, let you know everything that's happening out there too. And you can download, I think it's a 24-page report called How to Be Your Own Appraiser, or How to Put Brian and Leon Out of Business, or something like that. And it's about how appraisers approach things and how you
can do
the same thing.
That's why it's only 24 pages.
That's right, because it's not that hard. It's not that hard to do. Hey, if you want to reach us through the week, you can go to valuethisradio.com. We post pictures of things that have been on the air with us, and if you have questions, you can post up there as well.
The neat thing is that if they have something and they don't want to wait to a show,
yes,
and just want to send us a photograph, they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives us a little time to look at it and see if we can do a little more than off the top of our head.
Exactly.
Response.
If you don't call us, we might call you and set up a time we can connect with you at some point or another. All right, now we know. So you can talk to Dr. Kastner about just about anything, sports or academia, and he'll be happy to help you with that.
But I think we ought to talk about antiques and collectibles. So,
you know, that would be good. That's what the show's all about. That's why people are listening.
Right.
But we do have a special guest today, too. From time to time, we find people out there that we know or know of that are truly experts in their field. And today we're going to talk with Holly Davis. She is the senior editor of Prices for Antiques, and she's a director of library services for a proprietary subscription database that has lots and lots of comparable sales and documented sales from auction houses. Holly, are you with us?
I am. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in. And you're not a Cavaliers fan, are you?
I'm in Ohio, and my husband grew up near Akron. So, yes, I suppose we are.
Oh, cool. Look at that. Okay.
Not anybody. We are a Cavaliers household.
Oh, there you go. That's good. Excellent. Okay.
So you're happy.
I'm not an Ohio native, but those people, it's the people in the cornfields of Ohio, we are happy to have LeBron back, I guess.
There you go. Excellent. Okay. That's great. Well, Holly's going to talk to us about a proprietary database, again, which is an organization with a company called Prices for Antiques. And we wanted to find out, I know there are many companies that do this, but we have some questions about this proprietary database, subscription service database that we want to ask you.
Now,
is that okay?
Now, what do we mean by a database,
yeah,
Holly?
Go ahead.
I mean, you know, explain what this is. I mean, what kind of service do you provide to people?
We collect auction records from over 140 different auction houses, and we compile all of that information so that people can come there and just do a keyword search and find things that have sold at 140 different auction houses, rather than having to go to each auction house and figure out their search system and go from place to place. It's all in one place when you come to us to search. So you can see what comparable things have sold for, not just at one auction house, but across the country at auction, and compare them.
So if we, for example, if someone called up and said they have a LeBron James jersey, we could go to your service and probably type in LeBron uniform, and something would come up if it's been sold?
Right. That's the only limit that we have are things that have been sold at auction. And as you all know from years in the business, the way that auctions work, sometimes it takes a while for things to accrue that kind of value. So more popular modern collectibles maybe aren't showing up as often at auction.
Just because,
things like Beanie Babies are a little harder to come by at auction. Auction houses tend to deal with those in bulk lots.
In bulk lots, that's right.
The general idea that you can come there and just do a search for sports memorabilia, firearms, fine art, about everything you can think of.
So you have a lot of categories, like 50, 75, 100 categories, and
actually there usually around 1,300 categories and related subtypes.
All right. Wow. So, and subscription databases in general, they pull data in from a variety of different auction houses. Tell me how organizations or companies select the auction houses that they decide to add to their database.
We try to deal with auction houses that are well established, that have a long history of standing behind their reputation, of offering quality customer service, of offering knowledgeable cataloging, because it doesn't help somebody if the record is inaccurate.
Right. And is there, we also see a lot of auction houses, names we won't mention, that may have questionable hammer prices and things like that. Do you look for the quality of the auction house as well, or do the companies that create these databases that are the solid, I guess, established companies look for companies with established track records as well?
A lot of the auction house, a lot of the pricing resources online, many of them come from just what we call data dumps, where they just take an entire auction catalog and dump it in there and you just search the text.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
And it's a byproduct for them a lot of times of other things, being maybe a platform for online auction. And we do choose the auction houses based on that. You know, when we do hear about rumors in the marketplace of shill bidding, chandelier bidding, as it's called in some parts of the country.
Sure.
Those kinds of things that inflate prices, perhaps falsely, when we start to hear rumors that there may be some price inflation, and that they may be somehow manipulating the sales process.
Right. Now, Leon couldn't do that in his business because he didn't have a chandelier. But
that's right.
Help us understand.
We did have a ceiling, though, and we had walls.
Yeah, that's right. So tell us, our listeners, what a chandelier bid is, and it's we jokingly refer to it as that, but you can help us understand, our listeners understand what that really means.
Yeah, it is, sadly, I think sometimes it is sort of a joke in the auction business, but it's a very serious process. Chandelier bidding is where an auctioneer takes your bid and pretends that he has another bid. And it's called chandelier bidding because if you're sitting in the crowd and he's pointing, you know, you don't know where he's pointing. He may be pointing at the chandelier.
There you go.
So that's
where the name comes from. But what it means is that there's really no one bidding against you, and you're not paying a competitive price. You're paying a falsely inflated price.
What were you going to say, Leon?
Well, it's also called a phantom bid. Mm-hmm. And the point and the reason auctioneers do this is not always just to run someone up. Sometimes it's done because there might be a minimum or reserve set on an item.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the owner says, I want to get $1,000 for that. That's my minimum price. And if the auctioneer starts the bid, let's say at $500, and somebody jumps in, the auctioneer then goes back and forth with a phantom until he gets up to the buy amount, because he knows that if it sells for less than that, he won't sell it.
Right, sure.
So sometimes it's done in that way rather than they really should say, listen, we have a reserve. We haven't met the reserve.
Or some auction house will say, on the book, all right, we got $500. I got $600 on the book. $800. I got $900 on the book. $1,000, and it's not on the book, and you can move forward. Yeah.
But in P4A, you have a picture of every item, don't you?
Yes, so, we have pictures, and it is of the actual item. It's not a representative item. It is the actual item.
Exactly. So if I were going to search maybe a grandfather clock, and so I typed in grandfather clock, Pennsylvania. I mean, you have other parameters here, right? You can put the country of origin. You can put a date in and all those kind of things. So if I put down, I want to see a grandfather clock from Pennsylvania between 1770 and 1820 in mahogany, and I type that all in, then all those that have sold in that parameter will come up, right?
Right. That's exactly how it works.
And
that's one of the things that we do to help facilitate search, by the way. Some auction houses would call that a tall case clock. Some would call it a grandfather clock. And what we do is make sure that both terms are included so that when you're searching, you're sure to find it.
Right. And the nice thing for us, for like Brian and I and appraisers, is the reason we use services like that is because if we're appraising, we want to see sales of similar items and then be able to adjust it. So we like pictures. So when we see that we have 10 different clocks sold in that same category, we can look and see what's most comparable to the one we're appraising. We can see you have sale dates, so we know which sale is closest to the one we're appraising. And then you also have a little blurb about the auction itself that it's coming from. And you'll tell how many, what the sale was like, who sold it, how many people attended, what was the gross amount. Right? So that's really helpful to us.
And we really like pictures because, frankly, we can't read. So, Holly, can you stay with us? We're going to roll over to the other side, and we want to kind of wrap up on the other side for a minute or two. Can you stay with us through the break? Great. We're talking to Holly Davis, the Senior Editor and Director of Library Services at Prices for Antiques. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Value This with Brian and Leon. Call toll-free 877-41-VALUE and talk about what's in your attic or your basement. Back with more right after this. Call toll-free 877-41-VALUE if you want to talk about the fascinating world of antiques and collectibles. It's Value This with Brian and Leon.
Support for Value This comes from your local public radio station and from Collector Pro Software Antiques Edition. Software and services to the art and antique community since 1992. Track, sort, archive, and manage your prized collections with Collector Pro. Learn more at CollectorPro.com.
And we're back. We're talking with Holly. Holly is with a database called P4A, or Prices for Antiques.
She's the senior editor and director of library services. Holly, do libraries subscribe to these types of databases?
They do. We actually started off, as you all were mentioning, a tool for appraisers. And then when Antiques Roadshow really hit the big time and started gearing up, people started coming into their libraries and really being more interested in the things they were finding at home. And we found that we could help them as well.
Got it. So can people go to libraries and find databases like yours out there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just go into your public library and ask at the reference desk about what kinds of online pricing resources they have available.
That's great. Cool.
I know in the old days, I used to go to libraries, or I would tell when we did shows,
right.
I would tell the public that they ought to go to the library because the libraries have a lot of antique reference books.
Sure. Yep.
You don't always have to buy something. You
right.
can go to the library. And in the old days, they had what we used to call price guides.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And
yep.
there were a couple of standards in the industry. I remember one was like a Covell's, one was Warman's. They were like
Schroeder's.
The industry Bibles.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
and so everyone would use them, but they were written text. You know, it was like a dictionary, and they very seldom had photographs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you'd have to read the text there, and often what you thought you were reading was not really what it was.
Right.
And it was very difficult. It was difficult for us as appraisers, and I'm sure it was extremely difficult for a homeowner or someone who doesn't know to use a price guide.
Right. And frankly, every year, if you wanted to put out a new book, you had to change the prices or no one would buy it.
Yes.
So they've always changed the prices, usually up, and they may have been unofficially artificially inflated.
And no one knew where those prices came from. It was supposed to be a compilation, but you never knew.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a service like the Holly suggested is you actually then just – you give the raw data. And the people can then make their own decisions based on that.
Good deal. Great. Hey, Holly, can you give us a website where people can reach if they want to learn more about subscription databases?
Sure. Our main interface for the public is prices4antiques.com, or our library site is P4A Antiques Reference.
P4AAntiquesReference.com. Good. Or Prices for Antiques. Holly Davis, Senior Editor and Director of Library Services for Prices for Antiques. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. You be well. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Go Cavaliers.
they booed LeBron James when he came to play against them. Now what are they going to do? Now they're going to be nice to him, huh? Oh, they have short memories, don't they?
But I can't wait till when Jason Kidd comes back to Brooklyn.
Yeah, there you go. That's good.
The public is fickle, I'll tell you.
Yes, that's for sure. All right, what should we do now, John?
Well, as your producer, I would suggest that we
get off the air quick.
that's been suggested by many, but perhaps we should take a chance.
John suggested we get off the air, too. Yeah.
We should take a call, don't you
We should
think?
Take a call, because okay. maybe by chance it'll be something you guys actually know.
Well, that'll be a surprise. Okay.
You're on Value This with Brian and Leon. Who's this?
Good morning. My name is Angela. I'm calling from Lawton, Oklahoma.
Angela, if I recall, that name sounds familiar. You called before, didn't you?
You guys are very good. I did, and you gave me very good information.
But if I recall, we didn't give you all the information, right?
You could be correct. Yes.
Okay. that we know.
Yeah. So what did you have? Refresh your memory here.
Okay, I have an African carving that has been in my family ever since I can remember, and I know where it came from regarding the relative that brought it to Germany from Africa in the early 1900s. But I don't know which African country, and I don't know what the meaning of it may be. So I was very curious to find out more about her.
Okay. Can you describe it to us?
It's a wood carving? It's a wood carving of a woman who stands tall, about 14 inches. She has no clothing, excuse me, on top, and she is probably beyond voluptuous, I would say.
That's well put.
She has a very beautiful, serene face with very large eyes. An elaborate hairdo, it looks like an upper piece may be missing. it looks as if it was styled in cornrows in a way that I can't really recognize anymore. But it appears that she was painted. It may have been vivid colors at some point, but they are faded now. Her feet are missing. I can see the heels, but the feet are missing.
And
I just don't know where she might have come from other than Africa.
And obviously, we probably didn't give you much information, did we?
No, but you promised that you would.
Right.
Okay.
So we are now making good on that promise.
We are, because we don't have a clue, by
no,
the way.
We're making a phone call.
All right.
Okay? We recalled someone that we've worked with before in the past. Her name is Maura Kropke. Maura is from North Carolina. And Maura deals in African art and African and tribal art. And so we just sent her a picture, and we decided we'd get her on the call here and see if she can respond to you and give you good information instead of Brian and I trying to guess. So let's see.
Oh,
if
wonderful.
Okay. Maura, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Now, did you hear the description, Maura, that she gave?
I did, and I have an image of the piece also.
Good. So what can you say? Tell us about
this. This is a female shrine figure from the Yoruba tribe of Nigeria.
Oh.
And she would have been carved and probably used during a ceremony and then placed within a shrine. She was covered in kaolin at one point, which is a white pigment. And she does have a full skirt, which you can still see some painting on it, which is typical because commercial paint would have been used. Her feet are, and this is not unusual, her right foot appears to be missing. Her left leg has some damage. There is a split down the center of the upper torso section, which does not really affect the value on it. If the split had continued up into the face, then I would say maybe you should have it stabilized. But she's in pretty good condition, and she does. She has very nice surface on her. So this is an old carving, probably early 1900s, maybe up into the 1950s, based on the carving style. But all the damage and all the wear on her does make her, it is an authentic piece.
Okay, so now the big question. What do we think it's worth? Or what do you think it's worth? Because Brian and I don't have a clue.
The market value on a piece like this, since she is a well-carved example, would be between $1,200 and $1,500.
Okay.
Whoa.
$1,200 and $1,500.
Wow.
So, Angela, you have any questions?
That's amazing. I was just, I heard a tribe in Nigeria. Maura, would you mind spelling for me the name of
sure.
the tribe?
Yoruba, Yoruba.
Okay.
And if you have any more provenance information regarding the piece, if you had photographs or if you had diaries or more information regarding when he was in Nigeria, then that would increase the value on the piece also.
I do know this. His name was Otto Kopp. He was a painter and collector, and he lived in Germany all his life. He was my great uncle. And he lived from 1879 to 1947. Of course, the war started in Germany in 1933, so he would have traveled as a fairly young man, very early 1900s. And that's when he brought it back.
Good. Well, that seems to confirm things. And again,
yeah, it's a very nice example. I would say that typically maybe 90% of the pieces that we see are contemporary or tourist pieces, and this is an authentic example, and she's nicely carved, she has nice symmetrical features, and she has a nice old patina.
So, Angela, there you go. Brian and I couldn't answer you, but at least we got an answer for you.
That is wonderful. I've been wondering for years where she came from, and now I know. That makes me very happy. The
Excellent.
Value is in the family provenance
Good.
For me.
Good.
So well, she will stay.
Well, good. Thank you, Angela, for calling, and I'm glad you were patient in terms of us getting you an answer.
Thank you, Brian and Leon and Maura. Thank
good.
You.
There you go.
Thanks.
All right. Hey, Angela, stay with us, all right, Angela?
Well, Angela can hang up.
I'm sorry. Angela can't. Yeah, Maura's going to stay
yeah,
with us.
Yeah, Maura's
right?
going to stay.
Good. Thanks, Angela. You do well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. There you go.
Now, Maura, we did want to give you a little plug. You're from North Carolina, right?
Correct. We're located in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I work for Charles Jones African Art.
Great. Right. And if people want to get more information, what website might they go to?
Our website is C as in Charlie, J as in Jones, AfricanArt.com.
Before you hang up, however,
yes.
I didn't tell you this.
I know. We never tell them that.
Wait, since you're our guest, our Praiser guest, we have a little quiz for you. And the way this works, one of our followers on Twitter, right, Brian?
Well, on Facebook, our Facebook page, on Value This with Brian and Leon Facebook page. You'll be playing for them, and if you get these two multiple choice questions correct, they will receive a rare Value This light pen. And in order to find out who we're going to play for, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 10. You can do that now.
Three.
Okay, and another number between 1 and 10.
8.
Good. Okay, you're playing for Catherine Zinda Fox, who is one of our followers. And if you get these two questions right and Catherine responds to us, we will send her a rare Value This light pen, LED light pen. Are you ready?
No pressure. Oh, yeah.
These are very, very fine light pens. So if you don't get these right, she's going to
miss
out.
People will be very upset. Okay? All right.
Are these about African art or Brian?
They're related to African art in some way.
We're going to ask her questions about African art. That'll be good.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, this is multiple choice. Wait for all the answers to come in. First question is, what 1994 Disney animated movie had a storyline based on Hamlet and was located in Africa? A, The Tiger Queen, B, The Lion King, C, The Penguin Puppy, or D, The Pink Panther?
I'm going to go with The Lion King.
You know, you're pretty smart. Yes. All right, way to go. All right, everybody in the studio is cheering. All right, even though half people in the studio don't have headphones on and can't even hear you. But they're cheering anyway because they don't want to get thrown out.
Now we're going to give her the hard question.
This is all right. Okay. What African country is not... I'm sorry. Let's start over again. What country is not on the African continent? Gabon, A, B, Cameroon, C, Togo, or D, Slovenia?
Slovenia is not part of Africa.
Very good. Excellent. You're absolutely right. That's two for two. All right. See, they're not that hard.
No.
We wouldn't have got that. We had to look this up on Facebook, on the internet and see whatever. Okay. So you've gotten two out of two. Congratulations. We will be sending a rare Value This pen to Catherine, assuming, of course, she listens to the show again and she can respond appropriately. All righty?
So Maura, thank you. We appreciate your help.
Good deal. Hey, be well. Take care.
Okay.
Keep in touch. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right.
Okay. Time for state trivia.
Bum, 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 bum.
Okay. We're going to do a state we have not done before.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Washington.
Really?
On the West Coast.
Wow. We don't have any stations in Washington that carry us.
Well, maybe...
I mean, it was time.
Yes.
This maybe. Better be good trivia. It better be favorable trivia on the state of Washington.
This is very favorable.
It is. Oh, that's
good.
To me?
Do you know it's very strange? Yes. This is the only state to be named after a U.S. president.
That's very interesting. I didn't think about that.
That seems unusual, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. So, that's good. We could change New Jersey's name to another.
But it's also the birthplace
of
a couple of famous people.
Really?
Who were not presidents.
Hmm.
Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, it's Jimi Hendrix? Jimi Hendrix
was from the state of Washington.
Really? I didn't realize that. That's interesting.
So was Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby?
Now, they're an odd couple, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you think so. Yes. That's true. Well, didn't Bing Crosby, was it Bing Crosby and David Bowie did a Christmas song together?
Yes.
But Jimi Hendrix wasn't around.
I don't think Jimi Hendrix and Bing Crosby would.
Neat. Yeah.
They could have done the national anthem together. That would have been really
weird.
Yeah,
that would have been very weird. Yeah.
You know what state capital is? Most people think it's Seattle. It's not Seattle.
Johnny's got his hand up.
Spokane?
No.
Tacoma?
No. There's not too many other cities. It's Olympia. It's Olympia.
Olympia, right? Cool. Good.
And the state of Washington has the largest ferry fleet in the United States.
Really? Wait a minute. In the continental United States?
Yes. Continental U.S.
So Alaska's got more.
My sources tell me it has the largest ferry fleet in the United States.
What do you think, Nancy? You've been on both the Alaskan ferry and the Seattle ferries. She's giving us the I don't know look. You know. Okay, well, we'll accept that. Okay, excellent. That's great. But Alaska, call us if you dispute data anywhere.
The state of Washington used to be called something else.
Really?
It was actually originally called Columbia.
Oh,
the state of Columbia after the river.
The Columbia River.
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
They changed it because they didn't want it to be confused with the District of Columbia.
Oh.
Which is weird it's Washington and Washington, D.C. It's just as confusing as it was before.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
So there's some trivia about the state of Washington.
Well, that's good to know. If you're looking for more trivia, you can go to the Value This site on the Facebook site on Value This. We actually post pictures up there of things of the past, and we do these little mini quizzes, and people can find out what's going on there.
Speaking of that.
Yes.
I noticed that you posted something recently and said, what is this?
Yes.
What the heck is this?
Yeah, something like this. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I know what that is.
You do?
I do.
No kidding.
Now, you describe it to us, and I'll tell you what it was.
It is
a ruler, a yardstick on a base. On a base.
And then above that, there's something that slides up and down. It looks like it is a little metal container. It has some white powder in it.
Right. And then there's a bulb, right? A rubber bulb.
Yeah. It looks like there's a little hole there where if you squeeze the bulb, this white powder would come out.
Do you know what it is?
It's a cocaine distribution device.
Yes, no.
Used by all the drug dealers in all the major cities. No, actually, it's chalk in there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Right? And
it is a skirt marker.
Really?
Yes,
it is a skirt marker. You have to make to make hem lines as to where they would go. And this would stand on the ground and you would stand there and you would turn around as this thing spritz and put a nice little chalk line on it.
You got it.
A lot of people knew that. And if
they did know that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We have a
now, here's
a
the question.
People.
What are they worth?
That's another good question, and my thought is probably not much.
You're right.
Yeah?
You're right.
Really? Okay.
We used to get them at the auctions a lot. You know, you'd find them in the closet or whatever.
Yeah.
I couldn't sell them.
No,
I have to throw them in a box with other
hopefully
things.
Nancy's mom is listening to this because that's where we saw it, and she thought it was worth a lot of money. She read an article that said they were worth $35 to $50 or something like that.
Really?
Maybe that's what they were selling for or being offered for in the retail market in the junk shops or the antique shops that don't have any antiques in them.
Well,
but that seems like a lot of money.
It does seem like a lot of money, but, you know, I have not seen one now in probably 25 or 30 years.
Okay.
So maybe, you know, we have a whole generation that hasn't experienced them or know what they are.
All right.
So maybe they have another use, like you just suggested.
No, I doubt it. No, I doubt it. I was kidding about that.
Oh, you were kidding?
Absolutely kidding about that.
You weren't trying it out or anything?
No, it wasn't on Breaking Bad or anything like that. There's no meth lab associated with it at all.
Okay.
Well, if you're looking for more information, you got to get Leon's free report that he has to all
our
listeners.
We're giving away a free report?
We're giving a free report. If you go to bestantiquetips.com, you can keep up with our email. We'll email you and let you know everything that's happening out there, too. And you can download, I think it's a 24-page report called How to Be Your Own Appraiser or How to Put Brian and Leon Out of Business or something like that. Hey, if you want to reach us through the week, you can go to valuethisradio.com. We post pictures of things that have been on the air with us. And if you have questions, you can post up there as well. So the number's 877-41-VALUE. When we come back, what do we got the rest of the show, Johnny? What's happening?
Depends who calls, right?
That's it. Well, we got stumpers.
We
always got stumpers.
And we got our quote a week, but it all depends. We don't know because it depends who calls and what they've got.
More Value This with the experts Brian and Leon right after this. Call toll-free 877-41-VALUE if you want to talk about the fascinating world of antiques and collectibles. It's Value This with Brian and Leon.
And we're back as we promised.
Dana walked into the studio. Dana, you're from Hackettstown?
Yes, sir.
Great. Okay, and you actually listen to the show?
Yes.
And you had the nerve to actually come in here and get face-to-face with us?
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, and thanks for listening, and thanks for being so brave. You said you might want to bring your kids. We want to hear your kids screaming and yelling in the background. We'll do that next time.
I should have.
No worries. That's okay. We like kids. That's great.
So what do you have? Pull it out for us.
Basically, I have a Madonna Blonde Ambition Tour style novelty wall rug.
That sounds interesting. All right. So about how big is it?
It is actually 140 centimeters by 90 centimeters.
I have no idea what a centimeter is.
Know,
okay?
That's right. Okay, good. Right, we're going to open it up here and hold it up again so everybody can see.
So is this like 3x5, 3x6, something like that?
I don't know. Okay,
bigger.
So it looks like it's
a wall hanging,
it's like a wall hanging. It's got some fringe on it here.
It's not a
Surrey with the fringe on top.
It's like a 3x6, right?
Yeah, I guess it's about 3x6. It's got a great picture of Madonna with her microphone on with her little
3x5
skimpy little outfit on. It's got a nice little printed decorations of little hex signs.
This is perfect for the beach.
Is it?
Oh, it would be perfect for the beach, a beach blanket.
Would you rely on this?
I certainly would.
Okay. All right. I guess you would. All right. So it's a nice picture of Madonna, and it's actually printed. It's not embroidered. It's printed fabric. How did you come upon this piece?
I actually had gotten it from my mother.
Oh, nice. And she got it for you recently?
Yes.
Oh, nice. That's great. And well, you're trying to find out if she's cheap or not and how much you actually paid for it? Oh, okay. There you go. Oh, good.
Now, this was from one of her tours, right? Madonna's tours?
The 1990 Blonde Ambition tour, correct?
The 1990 Blonde Ambition.
Now, that's 10. That's a long time ago.
That's right. So you weren't you didn't do that tour.
You weren't at the concert.
I think I was born in 87, so I might have been like 3.
Oh, okay. Wow. Your mom didn't drag you out to listen to some really good music?
Yeah.
This is one of John's favorite performers, by the way, I think. So he's going to play it on his morning show from here on in. We're going to hear a lot of Madonna, too.
This is a stupid question, okay?
No, it's but not. No stupid questions.
Is she still singing today?
That's a stupid question.
I mean, she's just resting on her laurels.
Yeah,
she came
back. Didn't she do, what did she do recently? Did she do the Super Bowl last year?
She did, and then she
2 years
also
ago?
Had another tour.
Johnny's, no. Did you miss the Super Bowl, John? I think she did the last Super Bowl show. You know, and now she's got she's on tour again?
I thought like Lady Gaga took her place or something, didn't she?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, in terms of the act, I think the personification of what Madonna
was trying to do, I think
Lady Gaga
did.
But I don't.
Welcome to the entertainment portion of our show. Entertainment Tonight is coming.
Well, now, here's the reason I say that is because I think, to me, in the public's mind, she is not as popular now as she once was.
I would agree.
So I would think that things about her, novelties and things like this, are not as popular or as pricey or valuable as they might have once been.
I would agree.
That's what I'm getting at.
I would agree.
You would agree. Okay.
Yep. What do you think?
Oh,
Dana?
I definitely agree.
Really?
Yeah.
But if you want this to be worth more, you're supposed to disagree. Oh, no, Don is more popular than ever. And
whereas now we were talking about Jimi Hendrix and being born in the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had something from Jimi Hendrix, or something about Jimi Hendrix, a textile with Jimi Hendrix on that was produced during his lifetime.
Right.
I think that would have a lot more value because we have gone through a generation or two of him being gone.
Yep.
And whereas Madonna is still around, but it's kind of like the end of her career, and I don't think things are quite as popular.
I would agree with you.
Okay.
I would agree with you, too. Okay. So based on that, Leon,
where are we
value-wise?
Now, did you notice that there was a tag on this?
Oh, this little tag
there
here.
There is
a
little tag, and that little tag says what? FC Manchester?
Yeah, FC Manchester, made in Turkey.
Made in Turkey.
100% cotton.
And it has a phone number there, too.
Look at that. Oh, no, yeah, fax.
A fax number.
Good. So you think we can get more of these?
Well, I would think that I would try faxing that number, seeing if anybody's going to answer, see what if the company's still in business.
That's
a lead.
Excellent idea, Dana. That'd be fun for you to do.
Yeah,
be a lead on that.
Good.
Now you were checking some sites, right?
Right.
Some
data
sites.
We've gone online to actually we found this on a company called WorthPoint, and they have some post eBay sales data, and we look on them and see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. About 20 of these have sold in the past year and a half, and they sell anywhere from $14.81 to $54.38. So you're probably in that range, and my guess is you'd be at the lower end of that range. What do you think?
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Really? That's a pretty piece. We'll take a picture of you next, and we'll put it on the Facebook page if you want.
Definitely.
All right, good. Okay. Now, are you a Madonna fan? Why did your mom come up with this Madonna stuff for you?
Actually, it's funny, because when I was a child, she had, a cassette player, and she put in a Madonna tape, and and she's not really a Madonna fan, but I loved it.
Really?
And I've been a Madonna fan ever since. And, you know, I'm also doing music as well.
Are you a singer?
Yeah.
Really? And do you have any claim to fame?
Can you sing a opening Madonna song?
Come on, do some acapella Madonna for us.
I got one in my head here.
Yeah. Go ahead. It's coming. See. She's thinking. She's thinking.
Brian, you have your banjo?
It's been a while since I sang. I'm a little rough on the edges.
That's okay. That's all right. Okay. Oh, she's got it.
Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home.
Hey.
Wow.
Look at that. All right.
Thank you.
Nice. Right. Good deal. All right.
Okay, now you can,
Madonna's got nothing on you. Unwrap
the Madonna rug from you.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Excellent.
That was
good.
Nice. Yes.
Good deal. All right. That's great. Well, good luck with your Madonna piece. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for letting us put you on his spot. Oh, sing a song. Hey, while you're here, sing a song. Now, someone said that you had been on American Idol.
Yes.
Or you auditioned for American Idol.
I did audition for American Idol.
How'd that go?
It was an amazing experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Almost as good as coming on here, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, you got more airtime here than you did on American Idol, so that's a good thing. That's great. Well, good luck with your career.
Thank you so much.
And I would say you don't have to hang on to this for like a million years. I don't think it's going to
change too much
over the time. All right?
All right.
Good
deal.
Well, thanks for coming, Dana. Good. Hey, John, what do you want to do now?
I know what he wants to do.
It's stumper time. This is great. Dana could have sung along to this.
Yes.
You know? That's good. Do we have stumpers?
I'm looking. Okay, here we go. I'm trying to find last week's stumper.
I don't know how long a song it is. You better find something fast.
Okay. I think last week's was Nemo. The word Nemo, N-E-M-O.
Did you find Nemo?
Nemo is the old-time radio language meaning what?
Oh, yeah,
okay,
right.
In the old days when you're on radio, they might have a script or they'd have written on the script Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what it meant?
It meant that they were going to have a Disney movie called Finding Nemo
that's going to come out soon.
And Ellen was going to be the whale.
It was used by radio stations to indicate the program originated outside the station.
Really?
Okay, so like we do today, if you're hearing this in another part of the country and not in northern New Jersey, we're a Nemo show.
Really?
We are outside of the...
Does that stand for something? Not emitting my output.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know, but that's
okay.
That's
good. Nobody got that, by the way. Even our radio guys. You're thinking some of our radio guys should have
done
that.
So should I try something easier this week?
No, I just give it hard to us.
Okay, we were talking about old radio, so here's another one about old-time radio.
Yep.
What was the first world championship boxing match to be broadcast on radio?
Oh, cool. Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Which is kind of weird because today you don't think of things being broadcast on radio.
Yeah, right.
Except
right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe baseball games.
Yeah.
But in the old days, fights were a big deal.
Yeah, people
boxing fights. Stand
around the radio listening, mm-hmm. figure out who was doing who.
So what was the first world championship boxing match to be broadcast on radio?
I like it.
And when was it?
That works good.
Good.
That's excellent.
Okay.
Good. All right. Back to the phones?
Back to the phones.
Woo-woo! Who's on the phone? Hey, you're on Value This with Brian and Leon. Who's this?
This is Debbie from East Hanover, New Jersey.
East Hanover. Hey, Debbie, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Now, how long
are you doing today?
We're doing great. How long have you been in East Hanover?
Oh, about a year.
Oh, really? So you know about the Nike missiles that used to be in East Hanover back in the 70s?
No, I don't.
Oh, now you grew up in Livingston, though, right?
Yes, I'm now a Morris County girl.
Oh,
I've
there you
been
go.
An Essex County girl for a long time.
Well, you remember the Nike base up on the top of the Riker Hill in Livingston back in the old days?
Yeah, I take a lot of sunset pictures there.
There you go. Well, before they turned it into Peace Park, it was a Nike missile radar site, and the missiles were in East Hanover, and the radar was in Livingston.
Wow.
And that's why they
I did not know that.
And that's why they called
it
Peace
that.
Park. Yes, that's right. There you go. So,
how about that?
What
a wealth of knowledge.
I know, unbelievable.
Right? You are a wealth of knowledge.
And that's why you called, right? Absolutely.
That is exactly why
good.
I called.
Good. Well, we are here to answer all your questions of life. And so what questions
so
do you have?
What do you have?
Well, I have this beautiful vase that my father, I believe, got from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many years ago, my father was a world traveler. And I have this vase in my possession. It's beautifully hand-painted with red roses on it and markings. And
what does it say on the – it's a green vase with red roses on it, right?
Correct, with a ball bottom, and then it tapers up to a –
okay.
Small,
kind of like
you know.
A gourd shape on the bottom. And what does it say on the bottom? Any markings on the bottom?
Yes, it says Italy.
Okay.
With a crown.
With a crown, okay.
Oh,
and then it says Firenze, F-I-R-E-N-Z-E.
Mm-hmm.
Where, W-A-R-E. Then there's another little marking
It says Ginori. G-I-N-O-R-I.
Leon's got a picture that you sent. Apparently you sent us a
picture.
Yes,
that's right.
Thank you, Nancy, our producer.
I was trying to be, I was trying to show that I was very,
I'm sorry. Oh, you do. You're not even looking. And Leon's not even looking at the picture you sent. How's that? Is that better, Leon?
Well, the reason I said that is because you said it was Italy. And if you're talking ceramics in Italy, most people think of a ceramic called Capodimonte. And Capodimonte, one of their trademarks is kind of a crown trademark. And the contemporary or the company's name, one of the Capodimonte people was named Richard Ginori. And Richard Ginori and Sons, that they're equivalent to like Haviland Limoges, very good quality. And so you have a vase that's been hand-painted in Italy by the Ginori company. But I'm thinking that this is probably early 20th century and not 19th century. And the reason I would say that is because it says Italy on it. So that would have been after 1898, they would have put Italy. And the Ginori is not the typical Ginori trademark, and the crown mark is more of a 20th century piece. So my guess is it's probably 1920, 1930-ish. About how tall is it?
A foot.
Okay, about a foot tall.
About a foot. And I just saw a signature on it.
A signature on the front of it? It actually in the painting itself?
A signature towards the base.
That's good. That's good because, okay, I see it now beneath the one of the roses right there.
Yes, looks like P, and then it begins with a D. Donna Bari or
okay, I'm not sure. P. You could probably look that up. If that's hand painted rather than airbrushed or transferred, it's going to make it more valuable. And
Looks like it's hand painted.
If it's hand painted, it would be more valuable. But my guess is we're probably dealing in the $100 to $200 range, not in the thousands. Okay. But you sent a picture of something else, another vase that you had, right?
Yes.
Can we talk about that one?
Yes. Because
I think that one is the good one.
Ooh,
it's a beauty.
Ooh, way to go, Leon.
It really is beautiful. I have no idea where my dad got it.
So describe it briefly to our listeners.
It is about, I'd say, 6-7 inches high.
Mm-hmm. Relative, small vase. And
it's a small vase.
And it's got painted flowers on it?
It's got painted flowers, blue and a big green leaf. It's shaped almost like urnish, almost. Like it's narrow at the bottom, and then it gets wider in the center, and then it goes a little narrower to the top.
Uh-huh.
I do not use it for flowers.
Okay.
Now, I don't put anything in here.
And on the bottom, what is the marking on that?
On the bottom, well, it's hard to say exactly what it is.
It looks like the letter R and the letter P reversed.
Yes.
And there are little flames, little markings around it, right?
Yes.
That actually is the marking for a company called the Rookwood Pottery Company.
Ooh.
And Rookwood was from Rookwood, Ohio.
And that's okay. I'm
familiar with that.
Okay.
Or Rookwood, Rookwood?
Right. It was right near Cincinnati, Ohio. And Rookwood was the reason they called it Rookwood is because the people that started the pottery, the lady that started it at her father's mansion. And Rookwood means crows, and there were a lot of crows that were there. So they named the company after the crows, so it's called Rookwood. Flame mark, that little mark on the bottom, that was used between 1886 and 1900. And if you count those little flames, in 1886, they had, and then you count the flames, you add a year to each one of those flames. So if there's 10 of those flames, that would be 1896. So it's going to, and I don't know how many flame marks there are, but it looks like there might be 10 or 12. So we're talking something right around 1895 to 1900.
It looks like 17.
Okay, then 17 would have been, that's a little high. It's going to be a little less than 17. So it's around 1900. This actually, from the picture, this could be something they called their iris glaze, which is a really fine glaze. It almost looks like a very fine piece of porcelain rather than pottery. And this this is actually well, this is sought after and demanded. You have a very good piece here that needs a little bit of further documentation, but it could be over $1,000. This piece.
Wow.
So this is a really good piece. Even though the other one might look prettier, this one is better. This one's better.
I figured that. This one does look older. There is some crackling.
Okay.
You know, under the paint. You know, I guess they call it, is it glazing or grazing?
Yes,
or?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And that's all we can do for you now because we got to cut ourselves
We're running out of show, Debbie,
okay,
but we'll keep in touch, all right?
Thank you so much for calling.
Good. All right. You be well. Thanks a lot. We'll be in touch soon.
Take care.
Okay,
take care.
Super. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Our studio engineer is John Del Rey. Thanks to everybody else.
Good.
Listen to the credits next week. We'll get them all in.
We'll get them twice.
Got a quote of the week?
Yes, I do.
Somewhere?
Yes. An old Nigerian proverb.
Yes.
When the mouse laughs at the cat, there's a hole nearby.
Ooh, very good. See you next week on Value This with Brian and Leon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.